Welcome to the NORATH News Network, an EverQuest podcast. Hello, questers, and welcome to the NORATH News Network. Today is March 22nd, 2015. This is Episode 6, our Guild Spotlight on the Brute Force Miners. I'm your host, Aileron, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Lagan.
Welcome, questers, and we're really excited to have our guest on tonight. We have Stike, which is the leader of the Brute Force Miners, and his friend, Shadow. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hi.
That works out. We actually do have like three listeners not in the U.S., so I hope somebody appreciated the hola.
Yeah, we appreciate the multi-language there.
We looked and saw there's somewhere, and shout out to you, whoever you are, listening to us in Saudi Arabia. I cannot imagine what my Arkansas drawl sounds like in Saudi, but it can't be good. Cannot be good.
Yeah, but, it's just not good at all.
Just not good.
Probably makes his ears bleed.
But I appreciate his patronage. Well, guys, welcome to the show. We're very excited to have you on. You're our first Guild Spotlight. We appreciate you agreeing to come on. But before we get into the fine details of your guild, let's all talk about what we've done in game this week. Lagan, you want to lead us off?
Yes, I will. Both of us played some EQ this week. No landmark this week. We just was too busy for it. But we did get on and do some quests and EQ. And the funniest thing that happened was we could not find the big boss that we were supposed to kill and wound up killing everything in the zone, but could not find the big boss.
That was
our gaming experience.
I got on later with another character and still never found him. And he's probably just like right there in front of us, but that's okay.
So you're telling me you're cheating on me. Is that what you're telling me?
A little bit.
Well, there's no little bit of cheating, okay?
Ouch.
Stike, how about you? What did you do in game this week?
As you know, we do have a guild city out in Landmark. So if you haven't seen it, it's all Roman architecture.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah. And so I've been beating my head in with a Colosseum. We're going to actually reproduce the Colosseum in game. As I call it, Landmarks in Landmark.
Nice. Well played.
Yeah.
Well, Shadow, how about yourself?
Unfortunately, this last week I haven't been in the game much with recent events, my work schedule, and the radio changeover. So,
I don't know why real life has to constantly get in the way of the important things.
I know it. I hate it.
I played a little EverQuest, trying to take advantage of some of that XP bonus from the anniversary event. I did get into EQ2 oh so briefly, found some of my old characters and kind of got them reset up UI and things like that. Had to delete my Aileron though, which should be the one I'm playing, but he was all too messed up to recover in my mind. I just had to wipe him clean and start over, but that's always fun. That's my favorite part, starting over. And I have not been in Landmark. But it will be soon. I'm anxious to see some of the new stuff they've put in.
Have you taken your alcoholism medicine?
No. No, but the XP bonus, it's just a miracle. I don't have 4 or 5 in EQ now.
Well, my biggest fear is next time I get on, this has happened once already, where they were in the midst of fixing the guild hall and adding to it, and I popped in, and I'm standing somewhere, and I'm like, where in the bloody world am I? And I was in the basement. It looked like I was in the basement.
Yeah, we trapped him in the basement for a good
Yeah, time. They literally put me in the basement.
With no build rights,
So wow. I'm afraid with them building the big guild city, I'm going to come back and, to be nice to the listeners, I'm not going to mention where I'm afraid I might find the flagpole, but still.
Yeah.
You get that picture.
Lagan had a great glitch for a week where every time he zoned in, he was like 200 feet above the portal and just fell to his death upon logging in every time.
Oh, man, was that ever irritating.
He was getting so mad.
Every time. I'd log in, and Aileron would already be there, and he'd say, oh, there you are, and wow, you just died. I mean,
wow, you just died.
Every time. I've kind of been real. I usually play the healer type, so I've run around with the wand, which is although my least favorite weapon in Landmark, I think, but I've been using it anyway for RP reasons, and I tried to heal him through it, but no.
Hard to heal through like 2,500 points of damage when you're plummeting from 2,000 feet above the earth, you know?
Yeah. Well, holding your spin on, you know, is, I think, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, Shakespeare's big question was to be or not to be. Well, this question would be to log in to die or not.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the question was answered way too many times.
Way too many times, right. So, moving on to our news section, there's actually not a lot of news this week, and, that news being, and I bet you guys were excited about it, that the Quainos competition has been opened. So any Landmark players out there who are want to build something from the Quainos.
Toy boat.
from the Quainos style guide, now's the time to get out there and get it submitted for review. I enjoy watching these competitions. I can't build a hut, so I don't participate, but I sure enjoy watching what people are building.
He's telling you the truth. He can't build. He literally cannot build a hut.
I tried it. It was a miserable failure. Are you guys entered in the competition?
We have a couple members that have dabbled into it, and I don't know if they're going to submit it or not, but yeah, they're into it, and I'm like, wow, I just suck at building. So I mean, you know, why bother? But you know, there's a couple around the actual Guild City that actually are in the actual competition. I think one of them is Pantera, if you guys have heard of him.
Pantera, okay.
Yeah, he's a pretty well-known builder, and he's entering in it.
I've seen some things. Somebody's water wheel the other day I thought was really impressive.
Yeah.
We favored them on Twitter. I don't remember who they were. Landmark Explorer put them out there. Noble Winkle's sword. The Quainos Shrine thing has really been captivating me.
That was really nice. Yeah, did you see the DeLorean, the time machine that's out there too?
No, I haven't seen, I've not seen that. I haven't seen that. I've seen the Enterprise that somebody's building.
That's Pantera building that.
Oh, that's Pantera.
That's building that. Man, yes, tell him he is doing a great job with that. Yeah, I fully expect that thing to go into hyperspace.
Yeah, and I think that his ego is like, you know, 5 miles long, but like, yeah, what did you build? This, you know?
Build the Enterprise. What?
Yeah, right. Your move.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, that kind of just transcends us right into our main focus of today's show, which is the Guild Spotlight on the Brute Force Miners. So, first out of the gate, what server can people find you on?
Well, we're on, I believe we're on Crater. Adventure Crater is where our hall is, but we have since moved very far away from there on Liberation Vale. Now is where our guild city is, and we kind of like all now conjugate and took up like half an island with all claims. But we're all over the place, so there's not nailed into one place anymore.
Is there a particular biome that y'all are favoring, or is it kind of everybody doing their own things?
Well, we started off doing our own thing, kind of doing our own builds, doing our own style, and kind of like, you know, just coming together and having fun. And now we are all literally 95% of the guild is all on Liberation Vale, which is a tropical, I guess, winter biome where near the ocean.
You know, it almost seems like they all have winter in them somewhere. Like even the most deserty ones, there's some snow-capped mountains somewhere.
Well, that is about to change with the wipe coming out, with the new biomes coming out, which every biome is going to look different from one another. So
are you telling us that it's actually going to start to look like the name that they have associated with it?
I'm hoping so, you know, but, you know, it's like when they branded this, it's like, oh, yes, love EverQuest, played EverQuest 1, that's where I cut my teeth at for, you know, my first MMO, and then I look at it, I was like, what is this? I'm thinking Sword and Shield, I'm thinking, you know, monsters and stuff like that, and it's like, build with blocks. I'm like, okay, I can do this.
You know, we discussed in our last episode that neither Legan and I both are kind of older than the target crowd for the Minecraft kind of movement. And again, that's another thing where I watch what people do and I'm like, wow, that's incredible, but it's not me.
well, I mean, it's like, well, Landmark's trying to rebrand itself from what are you, a builder? Okay, well, we got building stuff for you. And in Alpha, if you guys were ever in Alpha, holy smokes, that was about as rough as it ever got.
We only played for, of course, the podcast hadn't started that time, but we played, I don't know, a week or so, and I was just like, well, I wasted some money. But it got a lot better. It got a lot better. And I love the combat, and it's got me excited for next combat. So I like to get in there and kill some mobs and stuff. It's just, you know, there's not a lot of variety because that's not the purpose. But
yeah, there's four main mobs that you can kill, and they're both pretty easy to kill.
Right there. Once you know, the first time I got slaughtered. The first time I encountered one, I just walked on to one of those creepers and was slaughtered immediately. But then I realized, you know, these things have what, mechanics.
Yeah. Well, the first edition ones were just they were really dumb. They just stood there like, yep, okay, kill me. I don't want to live. You know, and now it's like, ooh, we're going to give these guys brains now, and now they move around and, you know, punch you right in the head and, you know, don't think twice about it.
It reminded one of my first encounters with them, I'd somehow gotten onto one of the lower layers and didn't really know what I was doing, and I came across one of the, one of the abominations, and it chased me forever. And I was just trying to run away from it. I didn't have a weapon yet in the game. I was just trying to run away, and it chased me forever, and it reminded me of, you know, in ODQ, you just had to zone, because that thing was not going to fall off. It was going to chase you.
These younger kids today playing EverQuest, they're like, oh, I love EverQuest. I played it back in the day. Would you play EverQuest too? I'm like, then you have no sense of what danger really is anymore in an MMO until you played EverQuest 1, where you would see, oh, there's a city, there's guards, it's gonna stop it. The guards would be like, I'm not messing with that. Mm-hmm. And literally watch you like being slaughtered right there in front of it. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, always had a sense that they were laughing at you as well.
Yeah, it's like, haha, you're stupid. You know, it's like,
and now maybe you guys remember, because we're trying to find a place now that we're back in, but it's a whole different. It feels like a different game on the free to play than it did, you know, back in 99 and 2000. But there was a cave that everybody congregated in.
I know what cave you're talking about, too.
Everybody, all the high levels, like, congregated in that cave. At some point, Legan and I were playing our characters. We were too low level, really, to be over there. But we found ourselves in that situation constantly because we just wanted to roam out and see what was out there. Mm. And there was a griffin that kind of patrolled that area.
Oh.
And it was so fast. And it was always, you couldn't really outrun it. You could only hope to be not the last one, you know, it was going to kill you. I just remember constantly just running the zone from that thing, just chasing us and just, screaming in real life, no, God, just please.
Real life.
And if you got to the zone, you proclaimed victory.
Right.
It's like, I beat you. I beat you. And then you zone back in. It's like, haha, I'm waiting for you. I'm not stupid.
I suppose the only thing I can think of in any other MMO that kind of compared to that, for our WoW players out there, the Feltron out there in the Burning Crusade, mm-hmm. Kind of was similar to that, but except for it was slow and you always saw it coming. So put back on to you guys. So does your guild just exist in Landmark, or have you expanded to any of the other EQ games?
We haven't. We have a few other players that play EverQuest 2, but I have allegiance over there to another guild called the Crafting Critters, and their generosity has just been phenomenal. They are quite the decorators, I should say, because that's all you can do really far as building-wise goes is decorate.
Right.
You know, it's like, here, have this beautiful lamp, beautiful, detailed, and textured. Okay, decorate it. It's like, I don't want to I want to put another waterfall here.
Or put another wall in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Or take out this island because I don't like it. It doesn't do the feng shui thing. But no, our obviously our end game is next. We are all going to forge into next.
Indeed,
right.
And which we are looking very forward to. Some are starting to lose the faith as far as is next ever going to get built.
The Daybreak acquisition hurt some people.
But see, they just got rid of the frontman though. That like I say, I read the forums every day, and I say, oh, I'm quitting. Why? Well, because there's no people at Daybreak. Like. Oh, Lord, I'm like, do you need to do a daily dose of stupid? You know, it's like, I don't know how more Terry Michaels can get on the Landmark Live show and going, nothing has changed. Just a few people were cut, and all they were front people, front men.
He has, in the AMA, you know, he really just kind of pleaded. He did everything but put his hand on some religious text and swear that Next was moving forward, that they had, you know. But some of them, you know, those were big people that we all knew and, I guess, trusted in a way. So I think a lot of communities are just dinging, but they're all going to come back. If Next delivers on half of their promises, they're all coming back.
Well, yeah. I mean, the only thing that's going to sink anything else is going to be their lack of the AI or story bricks, which they do have in their possession with all the AI that story bricks has done. But it's definitely the AI is what's going to sell that game.
Yeah, so and have they to get that right. That's the true next gen thing. Now, the voxel farm bit is really important because all the next wave of games that are RPG based, I think that's going to be a factor. I think you can see that tech really permeate the market. But story bricks, the emergent AI is crucial for the success of this game.
Well, it's going to take EverQuest into a place where it's never been before, which was, you know, your AI is going to think for itself. It's going to act and think on its own. It's like, you know, as they said, the group of goblins, if you know, for all the listeners out there who have before Storybricks decided to, you know, die off, they said that, you know, your group of goblins in the forest, they're there to mine. Well, what are they going to do after they're mined? Well, you know, could they invade? Sure. Could they attack? Absolutely. You know, could they just go away and you'll never see them again? Absolutely. And I think that's something that EverQuest kind of needs versus that, you know, Sword and Shield, you know, in that thick of, you know, in the thick of the fight where the AI is like, yeah, you know what? You're way too powerful. I'm out of here. I'm running from you, you know?
Well, I think people are going to like it where if you haven't watched, I believe it's from the 2014 one, they show it had Steve, I butcher his last name, Janister? Janister, the lore.
The lore guy.
Lore guy that was let go. Morgard on Twitter, which I still follow him on Twitter, still love all of his stuff. He's got a blog that's great. He and the head of Storybricks were on there, and they showed several scenarios that were programmed in, and it was like the Dark Elves taking over the Dryad's land, and the Dryads fought back, and they all had these conflicting needs and wants, and unbeknownst to either of them was a third faction that once enough Dryads were gone that were holding the zone in balance, these other faction rose and then started to beat the Dark Elves out, and they said, you know, this will be different on every server because this will not play out the same twice.
Yeah, and that's what's really going to bring back, the mistrust or the damage that happened with, you know, with a lot of people, you know, being laid off from Daybreak is that immense AI, you know, and that's something that, you know, EverQuest has never seen before. You know, what you as a player now actually has consequences on the entire server-wide, you know, server-wide.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And, I think the three big promises of Next are the fully destructible world. That's important. But we know that exists. We've seen it. It's in Landmark.
So yes.
We can check that one off. That one's coming.
Mm-hmm.
The emergent AI, I think that's the biggest one. And I'm a strong believer that it's coming because the things they've shown in the limited videos they showed us seem to indicate that it's ready. or at least close. And then I think the third thing was the ability to have 40-something classes and to get them all for one, on your one character. I think that's a pretty big promise, and if they pull it off, it's going to be really impressive.
Yeah, I don't see 40 different classes be merged into one where, you know, you could be a warrior with healing abilities with, you know, with rogue knives, you know, rogue daggers going crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, wait, don't get me wrong, has it ever been done? No. Rift kind of slightly did that with the first multi-class type character where you can, you know, dual spec.
Yeah, Rift had a great talent system. I think Guild Wars 2 is referenced a lot because they kind of got rid of the Trinity and let you have a lot of things. But I don't think it's quite as ambitious as what Nex is going for, to where you can, I don't know, they said that you're going to be able to min-max this if you want. But if you're just an RPer out there, and I think EQ has always had a rich history of RP players.
Oh, yes.
And for those RPers out there who want to be that dagger-wielding warrior priest, you know, that's the thing for you. You're probably not going to get a spot in a raid, but your questing can be awesome
exactly,
for you.
Exactly.
Of course, I kind of wonder, and I'll put it to you guys, we're actually going to focus an entire episode on this pretty soon. This is Noof to Lagan. But,
it usually is.
But, you know, what will in-game be, and will it be as important in X as it is in some MMOs? Because if the world is ever-changing, and your character is ever-growing, because there's so many classes and combinations and weapons to change your class and so many things like that, you know, I wonder, I think you have to have some sort of raid in-game thing to keep that very vocal minority of gamers appeased. But I wonder, will it be the big deal next that is in the other big MMOs, you know, such as WoW and SWTOR and things like that?
Endgame is in, like, in
about raids. Yeah.
Oh, raids. Well, raids is that all it is just you're keeping, you know, I guess occupied, and guessing the player occupied for, you know, more content to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to keep them, you know, as a gamer, we all know that, you know, if you're at endgame and there's no content to be had, it's like, well, what do? You either leave the game or you re-roll and try it differently.
Right.
So, you know, I think raids are kind of critical for as far as developers goes to have that in there.
I think they are too, but like you just said, they're normally used to keep players fulfilled until they can get more content out. Now, if you have a procedurally generated world with procedurally generated emergent AI, is there ever a lack of content?
That's a good question.
And we won't know. We won't know until next comes out. But I am sort of hopeful that, you know, now I'm not saying the game should launch without raids. Please, Daybreak, if you're listening, don't launch without raids. Not that you were thinking about it, but some MMOs, you know, that was a big problem people had when SWTOR launched, was it just had so little in-game, and it was so easy to quickly level up to max. I don't think Nex is going to have that problem, but you need to have it there anyway. But I don't think it's going to be the issue in Nex that it is in others. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I'm hopeful as well. We don't know where they have next at. They have them in, I guess, like a little cage in the back of Daybreak Games going, you can't come out yet. Nope. You know, you start, you know, behaving because we don't know. And they won't tell us where they're at. We don't know until, excuse me, until Terry Michaels decides to either slip up or he's ready to, you know, release more information on next.
Well, one of my favorite things they do is they constantly say, when we know, you'll know. And then almost immediately someone next to them be like, but we can't wait to show you the things we have. Like, but you just said if you knew, you would tell us. And you just said you know, so tell us. But they got to keep it under wraps until it's ready. And
did you see the Q&A session, which mm-hmm. I call the BS session, because he did not answer a single question. Not one single question. It was like a line of BS across the board.
Damage control. We discussed that in one of our episodes.
I mean, that was nothing but damage control. And who was that the big guy there? You know, you could tell he knows where an X is. You could tell because he's biting at the bit, and you see Terry's like, "You talk, and I'm gonna give you a scrap again." You know, it's like,
"Don't make me lash you again, sir."
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to believe, you know, and at some point, I think in the SOE Live, I could be wrong. At some point, somebody said that they had an alpha in house, and you've seen some of the scenarios they've thrown up at that, like SOE Live and things like that. So I think the game is further along than, you know, probably the community as a whole believes, because we haven't got to see a lot. But I really think they need a win for this. The EQ franchise needs a big win.
Well, I think Daybreak itself needs a slam dunk here, and I think that Columbus Nova wants them to succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, since that they bought, you know, SOE Gaming, and I think that they want the slam dunk. So I think that
they need it to be a huge hit. They need it to be, you know, to get a big chunk of the market. You know, probably what success, maybe, you know, 2 million subs or 2 million players.
I foresee it shattering record numbers for next, because almost every gaming magazine out there, you read on, you know, Columbus Nova or Daybreak, and in every single time, it's like the most anticipated MMO out there right now.
I think a lot of people are really looking forward to it. But let's get back. We kind of got a little. That's how we do. We get on tangents. Let's get back.
Do you guys remember Monty Python's The Meaning of Life?
The Meaning of Life. Oh,
when
my.
The fish are in the tank, and about halfway through the movie, the fish are swimming around, and they say, "I haven't said much about the meaning of life yet. I haven't said much about the guild yet."
Yeah, that's exactly where we are in the show. So, on your guild, if somebody wants to join your guild, where can they go to apply? How do they contact you?
They can go to bruteforceminers.engine.com/home, and that will bring up our website for the time being. We do have something in the works, which you guys are just going to have to follow to find out. Something big is happening for us, and it's being built as we speak. But for the time being, it is definitely bruteforceminers.engine.com/home. And then you can just click apply. And I have no life, so I'm always on the website.
Constantly on watch, are you?
That's right.
It's like, funny how these take so much time.
Yeah, it does take a lot of time. You know, being a guild leader, you definitely have to have, like, zero life.
Well, fortunately, currently in our guild, on Landmark, Lagan's the only other member, and it's been pretty easy to manage the ranks so far. So, I mean, he gets out of line. I'm not going to lie. We've had some demotions.
Who said you were in charge?
Oh. See, let's see. Hold on. Slash
we'll have to have a guild vote on this.
They're going to the timeout room.
That's right. I would put you in a timeout room if I were capable of building it, but I'm not.
That's sad.
That's so sad.
Do you have any questions you want to get in here?
I do, and you know, I know how guilds work in other MMOs. You know, you share things, you can put it in the bank and stuff like that, and people can pull out if they have enough clearance to do so. Describe to us what are some of the perks of having a guild in Landmark. Do you guys share materials? Do you help each other build? Or some of the perks of being in a guild?
Well, being in a guild is that you got more people to talk to, since you don't really come across a lot of people out in the world, so to say, unless you are by a spire, and you might see four or five people on a very heavily dense continent. It's definitely good to see more players. And as far as a guild goes, is that, you know, me as a guild leader, you know, the things that I would love, and it has already happened, is that I have a group of builders. I have a group of, I call them engineers, because they know how to build just about anything, and you know, and all around, you know, good camaraderie, and I think that's very critical part of being in the guild is that the camaraderie to someone to talk about Landmark versus, oh, I have this very incredibly difficult build and I have no idea how to do it. How do I do this? I could do general chat and I might get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could be like, okay, well, I can turn to my guys here in the guild hall and in the guild and going, well, I need help with this build. Can you help me? And all right, hold on, I'll be right over. That's definitely a big perk of being in the guild as far as I guess more help for more team building. And then of course you have all resources. I mean, coming up on the wipe, I think we sit on probably like 5 million copper, probably
wow.
6 million dirt, probably 10 million stone, and we kind of just pass that off to everyone. Oh, you need 450,000 dirt. There you go.
That's amazing.
What do you think twice about it?
So, do you guys divvy up the work, so to speak, if you are building a guild project? Do you have people that are that go out and gather, and you have people that work on the build? And is it always the same people doing that, or do y'all swap off some?
Well, we have it breaks down to it's all volunteer based because here I am as guild leader. What can I do to promote? Joint projects. How can I get the guild to be adhesive, to be, to do something big? And it's always on a volunteer base. And in my guild, Brute Force Miners, we have not only – I have not had to ask them, they're asking me, well, what do you want me to do versus, hey, can you do this for me? I need dirt or I need stone or I need, copper, whatever. They come and find me. They're like, well, I don't really like building. I don't get it. I don't like it, but I like gathering. So,
mm-hmm.
Usually I get the same gatherers. Usually I'll have one person and he'll just flood six or seven, eight chests full of stuff. And I'll just be like, oh, there you go. And we have the kind of same kind of with the same mentality as builders. I know we don't really swap off. We know we kind of play off of our strengths and our weaknesses as far as builders go. So,
mm-hmm.
Since I suck at building, I'm asking a question like, can you come fix this? This is divoted. I don't know why this is not rotating right. Can you do that? And, without a problem, slap a finger, then they're there to do it. So, we kind of come together as a whole pretty quickly.
How many guild members do you have?
We have almost close to 50.
Nice.
That's
yes.
Cool.
Yeah, almost. We're kind of scattered out right now because the upcoming wipe, people are free to build. For me, I'm kind of touched in the head, and let's build a coliseum that takes 2 to 3 months to build, and let's cram that into a month.
Yeah, that makes sense, though. I mean, but you can still build your templates and get ready for a big build.
Yeah, so we came up with this Atlas build here in a month and a half, and we have literally taken over a half an island on Liberation Vale. If you came on Liberation Vale right now, you would see half of the western part of the island completely jammed. You cannot get another claim in there because we all just came in there and we were like, let's make this happen. And we're crossing our fingers for an underwater biome that hopefully that they'll sneak in there when they had the servers down for the wipe.
Yeah, now didn't they? I think they addressed that one already. So that one's not ready yet, but it's coming. But it's not ready yet. So.
Yeah, and I don't know if I believe them though. And Terry's a sly guy. He could probably sell a blind man pencils, but I don't know if I believe that man when he says it's not ready yet because I believe that he sits at Daybreak Games with his Indiana Jones whip and going, you better make this work.
You better make this work.
Yeah, that's right. You'll be fired.
I definitely hope it is coming in the game because I never play the Ixar or the Froglox or anything like that, but I'm definitely going to play one of the more water-themed races in next just because the ocean is so amazing.
The oceans are really
You talk like the Froglox people there?
Any of the races that can stay underwater longer, that's what I want to play next because I want to be in the ocean as much as possible. It's amazing. The way the waves do and the sounds, it's just great.
Yeah, they nailed the water as far as that goes when they put it into Landmark. I don't know if you guys remember when they just painted the water on the ground. And you could be like Moses said, I'm walking on water.
And when it comes inland, when they get the freshwater bodies in there, I'm very excited for that.
Oh yeah, the lakes and streams. Yeah.
That's gonna be and the moving voxels so people can get their water wheels moving and things like that. A lot of exciting stuff coming in Landmark soon, hopefully.
Yeah, which makes me weep because then open beta gets further and further away.
but you know they could be because they're doing such a long closed beta. Open beta may be real short. I mean, they may just go 2 months and then they just launch it out.
Well, alpha was only a month long before they put it into. Yeah, it was very, very short. And now it seems like closed beta is just like, it just keeps dragging on.
Right, so I think those terms are sort of fluid. I think we'll see a short open beta before this thing is. Especially on a game that's free to play, what's the point of it really being that long? You know, it's really just a difference, a different sentence on your website, essentially. You know,
yeah.
So.
Agreed.
Oh, there was one thing to point out to Stike. If anybody comes in after 6 months, this was something they changed up. If you come in expecting Stike to be after 6 months the guild leader. Are we sticking with that, where you switch up every 6 months?
Yeah, but I don't know if that would be one of the questions, no. We do have a round-robin system.
That's neat.
Yeah, which is means that every 6 months we have a new guild leader, only because of the fact that after the end of this 6 months, I'm taking a long, long, really nice break from not doing anything.
I would imagine. I imagine that's a lot of work.
So you heard it here on Norath News first. Stike's power base is being threatened.
I did. I heard that. Well, I'm glad to report that there's a long list of alts in line before Lagan. So we are going to rotate, but it's mostly just my alts before it goes to him. So.
Oh, delegated to Peon again.
Delegated.
Set to my copper. So, Layton put a question on our notes that I've been waiting to ask. So, how did you guys, of course you said you're not great at it, but where's everybody learning how to do what they're doing in Landmark to become a full-blown Voxelmancer, as they say?
Well, sure, it's a Voxelmancer, which is a nice little fancy term, like, I just get the game. You know, it's like, I beat Landmark.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of us have, not all of us, but most of us do YouTube through that and watching those for hours on it and going, oh my God, you know, just end my life now.
is there anybody in particular that you've found very educational to pass on to? Because there is a learning curve to this game.
There is a huge learning curve, and I think honestly, you the player. Is your best guide. I tell my new members, like, well, how do I build this? All right, and I tell them quite simply, go get dirty. Go put the blocks down, you know, and if you have to go watch, a YouTube video, but you are, you know, your best teacher, because you will develop a skill, because there's quite a few people out there that that do these tutorials, and they're very in-depth.
Right.
But that is their style. That can't be your style, because then now you're just kind of you're just using theirs. So you never kind of have your own sense of building. I don't really, I mean, to be honest, I really didn't watch any of the tutorials, which is probably why I suck so bad at building, and find out why putty is like the latest rage, you know?
I would suggest for people to start off small, build an outhouse, build a hut. And get that working. Learn those tools because they're finicky, and your resources, and then start to build your epic Koinos wizard tower. With the moving parts and all that, and the portals and all that. But that's just me because I'm incompetent and nervous every time I do it.
Yeah, honestly, start off with the box.
There you go.
That's what I did in Alpha. I was like, oh, what am I gonna do in Alpha? Oh, I could learn a game. Or I could just wander aimlessly, like, you know, some sort of crazy person going, ooh, ah, like, wow, how did you build that? You know, and never building anything.
I'm optimistic that one day I will be able to build a box. One day.
I'm not.
And that serves why you're at peon status.
That's right, I'm a peon, yes, I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're an epic builder. Yeah, good job.
Good job. Exactly. Thank you. I can stretch that one voxel out to look like a box. Boom. That's about it.
Yeah, build a voxel. There we go.
Well, Lillian, I think we're kind of starting to run a little long. Do you want to move into our lore section for the week?
Yeah, let's do that real quick. And we're going to take a look at the Age of Rebirth. The Age of Rebirth was when the earliest Dawg kingdoms were founded. New races were emerging. You know, last week we talked about the Norl and the cataclysmic event that took place. And during that time, after that cataclysmic event, there were all kinds of new races emerging. The elves were among these races, and it was a dangerous age. And in these desperate times, these heroes began to rise from the races, and for the Dao, those heroes would be the founders of some of their most ancient and noble houses. Names like Thex, Devin, Orprest, Tare, Ondel, and forgive me if I'm butchering some of those names.
We butcher names. That's what we do.
We butcher names. We've told you in every episode, because in every episode, we've butchered names. At times, the nobles were competed against each other, but they, as things got more chaotic, they started to band together. And the lesser houses started to pledge to the greater houses. And this is how the Dao command structure, if you would, came about. And it was eventually decided that there would be one ruling house, one great house, and that house became Thex. Because they decided that Thex had the strongest claim, and they built the keep Nariak. And it became the capital city known as Amarill. So that's a little bit of history of how the Dao came to being in the Age of Rebirth.
Mm-hmm. The capital, Nariak, became the capital of the kingdom of Amarill. I think you said city there.
What did I say?
You said city, but you were close.
Yeah.
Just correction, so people, if they haven't read, it just so happened that I just finished.
And here I go into my fetal position again.
Just before the podcast started, I finished reading The Mage of Tyrdal, which focuses on the House of Thex. I'm really enjoying it. We've talked on the show that I'm
no
a
spoilers.
Big, right,
no spoilers.
Right. I'm a big Dark Elf fan. That was my first character in EQ. This is my first character in EQ2. If it were an option in Landmark, it would have been the first two. And so reading about the Tyrdal and places like Nariak and things like that gets me right in the feels, and I get super excited when I read that. So, thank you.
You need a moment alone?
I'm going to mute you just for a minute. It's fine. Nothing's going on here.
Family friendly.
Yeah, I know, family friendly. You're on the verge there. Okay, so that's going to get us close to the end. Before we go on where you can find us, Stike, do you want to go through and tell the good people one more time where they can find you on the various social medias and websites and whatnot?
Sure. For our main address, which is brewforceminers.engine.com/home. You can find us on there, and then I also have a Twitter for the guild, and if you look up Brute Force Miners, I think it says /Stike1122. I think that it's at Stike1122. We have a Twitter there, and you know, of course, I have all the devs under following them very closely. So I think that honestly, that's it.
Okay, all right. Shadow, do you have any personal things that you'd like for the people to know about?
There goes the podcast. There goes all the listeners.
No, not this time. Well, at least he didn't bring the barking squirrels, but you know.
Maybe next time.
It's a story for a different time, and I really want to hear about the barking squirrels. That sounds interesting.
I don't know if you want to hear
that. That's right, because we're family-friendly, so we may not be able to hear about it. Now, pre-show, you said y'all have a project coming up, so when you get that finished, you'll need to either come back on or shoot us a tweet or something so we can get that out to the people.
Oh, absolutely.
When you're up and running.
Yeah, it's going to take us a little while to get there, but we got a very big project. Like I said, that's crossing our fingers. Everyone here in Brewforce is crossing our fingers for an underwater biome.
Oh, man.
So
super
you can
excited.
Start thinking about what an underwater biome would make us. So let the rumors begin.
Oh, man. Oh, now I can't wait to find out. Layan, do you want to attempt to tell the people where they can find us?
Why do you always put it that I should attempt to tell them?
Well, attempt?
I have been successful before, you know.
I believe in one of the episodes you get all the way through it.
It was like the second episode.
Episode. It's all been downhill since there.
I'm going to have my lawyer call yours.
Uh-oh. I think the general population believes that our podcast has been downhill since then. If you look, we got a lot of listens on episode 1 and 2, and then it just kind of starts to curve down. But
how do we get negative numbers?
What's going on?
Okay, Questers, you can find us. Let's cut these guys off. Questers, you can find us at www.norathnewsnetwork.com. You can also tweet us at NorathNewsNet, and you can also find us on Facebook at Norath News Network. Ha!
Uh-huh.
Take that!
Right. You can also find we're also Norath News Network on Google Plus. If you haven't already, go find us out on iTunes. You can subscribe using the iTunes podcast app if you have it. We're also on Stitcher. You can add us to a playlist there, or you can follow us and add us to a playlist on Podomatic. Real quick, before we close out, little teaser for all 12 of you out there. We can't say yet, but we have in Legan and my mind a very big guest coming on the show in the next month or two. It's sort of in our lore. Section, but it's going to be a whole episode devoted to this guest, and we're very excited to have them on, so stay tuned, because you're going to want to hear what he has to say, and we'll drop more hints as we get more stuff worked out for when that episode's going to air.
Indeed, and we would like to thank our guests, Stike and Shadow, for coming on today. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate the insight to the guilds, and we'll be looking forward to some news on y'all's big build.
Oh, absolutely. It was a pleasure being here.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you for having us.
And Shadow, we'll try to get Stack to let you talk more next time.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Because like I said, he led this whole adventure, and whatever powers may be, the waters parted for him.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you, Shadow. Leon's got to stick together, man.
Well, you know, it's a pretty big deal because there's two of you, so that's 1/6 of our total audience. So we're pretty pleased to have you on. real quick, if there's people out there who are stopping listening because there's not a group, there's more people than that. I just like to – we like to stay humble. You're in good company. There's way more than I thought there would ever be.
I'm going to reiterate my call to arms for all the geeks out there. Go tell your fellow geeks about the NORATH News Network.
Sure.
That's right.
All right, Legan, that's going to do us.
All right, Questers, that's about all the time we have. We want to thank you for listening. And stay tuned next week for more EQ goodness.
Yep, that's going to do us. So may your journeys on Earth be safe and your adventures in NORATH be epic. Until next time.
Bye.